Welcome to the Love, Heal, Thrive podcast, where you learn to love yourself enough to heal and heal yourself enough to thrive so that you can live a life that feels whole, complete, untriggered, and unaffected by the people, emotions, and situations that surround you. I'm your host, Erin Gray. I am a Reiki master hypnotherapist, certified Enneagram and meditation teacher. I'm a medium and simply someone who has experienced energy and seen energy patterns her whole entire life. And that's been hard. And I want to help you learn tools and techniques that turn your energy sensitivity into your superpower. Each week, I will offer you helpful tools and insights from my own journey. I will also bring in experienced, amazing guests who will offer insight and guidance so that step by step, you can begin to live a life that feels empowered and strong and that you are in control. Together, we're going to learn how to love ourselves enough to heal and heal ourselves enough to thrive. I'm so happy you're here. Let's get started. I cannot be more excited about our guest today. I am so thrilled to introduce to you Brandi Gilmore, who is truly creating a breakthrough in human potential. She is an incredible human being and healer. And I'm just going to begin with her introduction because that alone is so incredible. And then we are going to dive into this heartfelt conversation. Brandi Gilmore is a researcher and mind-body healing expert who has been captivating audiences worldwide with her incredible ability to demonstrate radical healing using only the mind. She has even shown visual proof of the power of the mind using medical thermal imaging. Due to these breakthrough results, her case studies have been published in a prestigious medical journal. She has also delivered a mind-expanding TEDx talk and has been featured in several documentaries. Brandi's groundbreaking discoveries stemmed from her own debilitating injury. After an accident in 2003 left her disabled, in excruciating pain, and without hope of recovery, Brandi began searching for a cure. Through years of exploring every avenue for healing, Brandi eventually discovered obscure research that changed the course of her life and resulted in a complete recovery. Now she is releasing her brand new cutting-edge book, Master Your Mind and Energy to Heal Your Body, where she shares the hidden research that is key to her success. Several researchers and doctors have referred to Brandi's new book as a must-read. It holds an incredible missing key to healing. The reality is that our minds possess an extraordinary ability to heal far beyond the placebo, and Brandi's new book helps the reader understand the missing link to mind-body healing and provides a simple step-by-step process on how we can all access this hidden healing potential of our own minds. Brandi, welcome. I am so thrilled you are here today.
Likewise, Erin. You're beautiful, and it is so wonderful to connect with you.
I love what you have done. And I think so often people believe that this type of healing is surface, or it's a snake oil remedy, or it's unbelievable. And I think in your book, which we're going to dive into, you prove scientifically that it's not just that we feel better. It is that these have true physical responses to the healing that you are offering. So I would first love to hear, how did this all begin for you?
Absolutely. You know, this is literally the last thing I ever thought I would be doing. I used to do network engineering and operations, and
the universe works that way.
It does, doesn't it? Not only that, but what's kind of really divine is that when I did network engineering and operations, I would troubleshoot networks all day. So I literally went from troubleshooting telecommunication networks to troubleshooting the mind-body network. And I would say that was really helpful in helping me to get real results. And
I love that.
So it's funny how it all unfolded, but basically I had an accident, and technically two, I had a car accident and then a fall. And I literally went from living a full life to being wheelchair, walker, cane, and on morphine and an absolute mess for over 6 years.
Oh my gosh.
I am so sorry. You know, I tell my family, I have two teenage daughters, God in the universe will use whatever it needs to get our attention and to bring to us what we are meant to do in this world. So sometimes we feel like, wow, how could this happen to me? But you are living proof that sometimes things come into our life to then expand us and bring us to a whole new level that we never even expected.
Absolutely. You know, there's that well-known quote that's, you know, every adversity has the seed of opportunity, you know, and that's what I would say. Mm-hmm. I mean, most people who have what I had don't get better. So it's not just, so sometimes people, they say, well, there's an adversity. Okay, where's the gift? But the gift is, of course, in the growth, is that when we take it and say, all right, I am going to be determined to rise above this. And so I love that you tell your girls that they're blessed to have such an amazing, enlightened mother.
we'll play this back for them.
Several times every night while they're sleeping.
I'll just put it on a mantra loop for them while they're sleeping.
You have an amazing mother. So good. Some dinner music, guys.
Actually, they're incredible, but we have a great relationship. I'm so grateful. But okay. Back
but
to
you
the
have
healing.
A great sense of humor. Sorry. Totally.
So, one, I am so sorry that you had to go through this, because that I cannot even begin to imagine how painful and debilitating that must have felt. But I'm curious, where was the first spark? Where was the first moment where it started to shift for you? Right? Like that one moment where, you know, we've all been sick and have the flu and we feel like we can't get out of bed, but there's always this moment where it begins to shift, where you're not healed yet, but there's like a tipping point. I'm curious to hear, what was it that created this tipping point for you? And when was the moment that you knew that you began to have hope?
I love that you said it that way, wisely, because a lot of times people will say, what was that one tipping point? And I'm like, one? And so you said, what if it was the first one? And absolutely, I would say one tipping point is that I had, you know, when my doctor said I couldn't get better, I kept asking for answers and finally ended up in this research hospital, and there was a study. And I was supposed to be in this study, like supposed to be, but my doctors got me into this study and I thought, wow, I'm going to get my life back. And a long story short, you know, the day comes, so I'm registered for this healing study and I'm counting down the days like a kid before Christmas, you know, just waiting for this study to come, thinking that I'm going to get my life back.
This was it.
This was, yeah, this was one of them. There were certain ones, but this was one. That basically, a long story short, that when I got to the study, they looked at me and they looked at my chart and they looked at me and said, we don't actually expect it to work. You can't be part of the study. And after that, I just wanted to give up. I was like, I'm just done. Because I had been doing diet and supplements and just every single thing. And after that, it was like my last hope. But then I had this thought or voice come into my head that was like, well, what about the placebo? And the more I started studying, not just the placebo, but started then understanding the mind and how everything worked, the more research that I found that didn't make sense, the more everything pointed to the mind. And, you know, it led me to, for example, people with multiple personality disorder could have different ailments when they were in different personalities. Mm-hmm. And that was also profound. Everything just kept pointing to the mind as having that hidden answer.
Mm-hmm. And isn't that interesting that came to you only in the moment that you released, that you gave up and you released? And so often we hold on to control and belief, but it's in the moment when we just fully let go and give up. What we think is giving up is actually just releasing energetic control, that then you receive this incredible divine guidance that then led you to this place.
You know, that's an interesting way to look at it. I wouldn't have identified it as that. I think in my head, my whole head was spiraling over everything. Like I was laying there in bed, just like in all this pain, spiraling, just I guess thinking of all the reasons to give up, and like, I've tried this and I've tried this and I've tried this and I've tried this. And then I think that then I just, as I was just kind of that's, I think that's where I was in my head,
mm-hmm.
is reanalyzing just every, it was spiraling.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there was a point of me that just, it was a lot. It was, I mean, it was an interesting mindset at that point.
Yeah. So then where for you, then what came next in that moment? I can't imagine how spiritually painful that must have been to have someone, your final hope, to say, okay, this isn't going to work. You can't participate. You're not going to get better. And then you then turned to the mind and the placebo. So then walk me through that journey of what came next from that moment.
Yeah, at first it was like ridiculous thoughts. It was like, well, maybe I could just give myself the placebo. And obviously that's not going to work. And I had this doctor at the time that I just loved. And I was like, well, maybe I could talk to him and have him give me the placebo. And then I was like, well, I would know it was a placebo. And so I went on this forcing myself to believe I was already healed, because I had been studying everything from metaphysics to,
mm-hmm.
you know, neuroscience to all of these things. And so everything said, well, just believe you're already healed. So I started doing mm-hmm. belief and gratitude and chanting and affirmations mm-hmm. and all these things. And it wasn't working. Mm-hmm. And no matter what I did, and I was like forcing myself. And so as I was researching even more, I came across something called the open label placebo, which is exactly like it sounds, which is open label. So both the doctor and the patient both know it's fake and it still works. Mm. And that's when I was like, okay, well, clearly the placebo is not just based on belief.
Right.
And so then I started, you know, there was another key insight was this, is that I had been, after that, I had been trying, you know, I was like laying in hypnosis and frequencies and mm-hmm. binaural beats and guided mm-hmm. meditations and silent meditations and like 16 different types of meditations a day. And blah, I was like, okay, well, somebody says this one works, this one, I'm going to try them all each day.
Right.
Like, I am literally going to do everything. Well, it's like when you don't do one mm-hmm. and when you do one and then it's not working, then you add in another and add in another. Yep. And it was
totally,
just, you know.
And I love that you began with the what if, because that's actually, as you know, a manifesting tool is to even begin what if blank, what if blank. And that was how you began, was by beginning to imagine, because our mind, our energy bodies don't know any different between reality and what we envision.
Right. And having a vision of healing, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That can definitely, definitely help. So beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's just getting your mind and energy in that direction. So I would say mm-hmm. that, but I think that at that time I was not doing it correctly. So I was mm-hmm. using, like, I would use meditation to kind of check out. So I would put my mind somewhere else, or just block my thoughts and whatnot. And then this deep state of relaxation. And I think another moment that was really pivotal to me was that a friend, her aunt was in her final days. She was dying from lung cancer. And so my friend had called me up and asked me if I wanted to go say goodbye. And I said, you know, of course. And so she picked me up and she took me over there. And I saw, you know, this woman that I loved was about to pass. And she had been in hospice for several months and in and out of consciousness. And as I was saying goodbye to her, it also dawned on me that was probably what I looked like during the day, because I was spending so much time mm-hmm. meditating in theta state and delta state and relaxation and hypnosis and all mm-hmm. of these things. And I said, well, if she's not healing and people everywhere can be in this super relaxed state and they're not healing, then I really need to do things radically different. And that was mm-hmm. another big pivot for me, was mm-hmm. saying, I just have to do things in a different way.
Well, I think it's so interesting that you would talk about meditation, your deep states of meditation, that you were blocking your thoughts, because I think so often that is how meditation is thought of, is like release the thought, release the thought, release the thought, and get really still and quiet. But I listened to one of your healing podcasts as well, which she has an incredible podcast, Heal Yourself, Heal Your Life. She does incredible healings on here. And it is fascinating to see the way that you incorporate those thoughts and incorporate the energy rather than dismissing them, which is part of your healing process, which I think is so incredible. Except that, you know, I think so many people are taught to dismiss the thought and that the thought is bad in meditation. But I love that you embrace it and you teach people a different way to go about that.
I love that you just said that. I love, because this is what I ended up doing. Because exactly like you just said, the thought comes up and you release it. The thought comes up and you release it. Now, this is part of the problem, and that made it harder for me, is that anything you train your brain to do over and over again, it gets good at. Kind of like, and it does, starts doing automatically, just like tying our shoes, as you know, like, you know, first when we start to tie, we have to think about it. Then after a while, we do it automatically. Or even driving a car. If a lot of people have had this experience where you're driving somewhere that you've been to several times and you might get to your destination and go, oh gosh, did I stop at all the lights? Because you realize you may have checked out for a little bit of the drive or something like that. And, you know, we've all maybe done that at some point in time. Mm-hmm. And so what I didn't realize at the time is I had been, you know, here comes the thought, let it go. Here's the thought, let it go. So I was training my brain to get good at ignoring what was in my subconscious mind. Mm-hmm. And instead, what I realized was that I needed to get very good at identifying what was in my subconscious mind and then radically shifting that. And that was, so I love that you said exactly that. It's profound. You're just spot on.
Well, I think your work is so incredible. And I do want to dive into that healing session in a moment. It was episode 226 with Julie, which was so interesting and so fascinating. But I want to talk first about your book, because what you do in here is so amazing and so great, because so often we can speak to the choir and we don't have to convince the choir that this type of healing is beneficial and helpful, and we raise our energetic frequency and attract the life of our dreams. We don't have to convince this set of
the
people.
Choir.
Yes, the choir. However, you have done so much to help the congregation begin to believe what you are teaching in ways that you're healing. So please share what you do in your book that has helped the rest of the world who maybe isn't a believer yet in this type of work, what you have done to help bridge that gap.
Absolutely. So I would say a few things. So first and foremost, after I healed myself, I thought exactly that. The congregation is never going to, like, is, you know, is going to say, how is this even possible? And so one thing I did was I started showing healing under medical equipment. So I could coach somebody to use their own mind, and you can see it on a medical scan where their pain goes from red to green as their pain goes away.
And just to be clear, just to clarify, this isn't just an x-ray. This is an active process of a medical screen, like an MRA, right?
This is, yes. So technically what this is it's called medical thermal imaging. And the easiest way to describe it is like this, is that, you know, if we have maybe like a sprained ankle or an infection, we know that the heat comes from that issue, the illness. And anytime we have some type of illness going on in our body, it emits heat. And so what medical thermal imaging does is it picks up on these heat patterns at a very, very advanced level. And so what I started doing is I would take somebody, let's say somebody has neck pain. And I worked with initially Dr. Hillary Smith, and I had her scan people under medical equipment, under this thermal medical imaging, and you could see on their neck, it would just be red all over the scan. And then what she did, which was really brilliant, is she set her scan to take a new scan, new image, every 1 second automatically. So it's just taking new scans automatically. And then
it's like any teenager with their phones. they take that's how they take their phone, their pictures.
Right. Oh my gosh. That's hilarious. Exactly. So Dr. Hillary Smith was like a teenager with the phone. And I'm playing. She's lovely. She's been doing this for, gosh, over 20 years. And so she would scan them, and it would take every 1 second intervals. And you could see, as I coach somebody to use their own mind, that their pain would go away, and you could see it on the scan. And what was really great is a few things. the scan would turn from red to green. And I just actually had case studies published in a medical journal last year also. And so you can see the scans. And so that's great. Another thing is you can tell that it's not just mind over matter, because you see the changes happening. It's not just positive thinking. And something else that's fun as well, two other things. One is, if people go back into the old mindset, the pain comes, like you can see it come back up on the scan. So it's not just placebo analgesia. It's not just mind over matter. It's not just because they believed it would happen. You can see the connection between mindset and their pain and it coming back. And I think another thing that was really profound in the study that I did last year of the case studies is that one of the participants had just come from a 10-day meditation retreat and still had a level 6 of pain. So his pain didn't change. And I didn't know this when I went in. So I worked with him. He had a level 6 of pain, helped him get rid of it. It was like 28 minutes and you could see it on the skin. And then afterwards he was like, he just said, I'm shocked that worked. I just came from a positive, like motivational seminar and a 10-day meditation retreat back to back. And it was like, thank you, universe, for pointing at, like, for adding this to my study.
Right. You can see it. That is. And yes. So how many people did you include in your study?
This case study, there were only 5 participants in this one. So it was just a small one. I've done larger case studies, but doing each person under medical equipment and whatnot.
It's expensive.
It is. Yep. Absolutely. And so that was one thing. And another thing is, in the book, I also help people to understand how it was possible for the mind to even affect the physical body. And another thing was understanding that energy isn't just woo-woo, but it's actually been medically discovered, medically documented. Mm-hmm. And that what's kind of fun is that it's really, top hospitals are even studying energy and light energy from the body. You just don't hear about it in mainstream. And so that's what I also brought forth, is the awareness of how the mind-body connection is even possible, and energy, and how even light energy has been connected to illness. And so that was also really fun, because you can see how it all makes logical sense. It was the network engineering technical part of me had to understand how it works. And the more I understood how it worked, the easier it was to get results.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I love, and I'm pulling from your amazing TEDx talk, which I'll include a link down below, and this incredible healing session that she did, which I'll also include a link down below. But in this particular healing session, so Brandy will preach all kinds of wisdom on her podcast, but she will also invite guests to come onto her podcast to do live healings, which is really cool. So in this particular episode, she was working with this woman. And what I thought was so wonderful of what you did was you didn't try to guide her toward feeling something she wasn't feeling. I felt like I was so impressed by you in that, even when she said you were feeling things, as an intuitive, you were feeling things, you knew where it was, but she wasn't ready to feel those things yet. And so you kept saying, okay, great. Okay, great. And I know where I'm taking you. It was amazing. And so could you talk a little bit about what you call emotion-controlled consciousness? Because I felt like this episode really, at least in my understanding of your incredible work, that this really exemplified what you talk about with emotion-controlled consciousness. And tell us a little bit more about that. We are going to dive deeper into emotion-controlled consciousness in just a moment, right after this quick break. Do you want to understand your energy and the most efficient way to draw in the happiest and healthiest version of you? Well, my book, Establishing Equilibrium, can offer you that very roadmap and is now available on Audible and paperback. I'm so excited for you to experience healing in any way you choose. Get your copy for your eyes and ears today. I'm so excited for you to start your healing journey. Now, back to the show.
So a lot of times, information in our subconscious mind can be hard to see. Additionally, emotions control what we see and what we perceive more than we realize. And a very simple way to think about this is, you know, if we have been really, really in love with somebody before, and everything that we see all of the good and wonderful things in them. And it's not like we say, okay, brain, I love this person, see good. And then you're mad at somebody or frustrated or hurt. And then there's an argument and you don't say, okay, brain, get stuck on going over that argument over and over, fault find in this person. It just happens. And so what we don't realize is that a lot of these patterns we get sucked into, and then it becomes our reality. And of course, most people here, you know, again, preaching to the choir. So some of these things we know, and then there's also depth to it that's hidden that we don't necessarily see. And when we start to realize that we're really sucked into these patterns, the more we become aware of it, the easier it is to then create a real, genuine transformation that is needed for healing. And kind of another way to exemplify this is if we imagine somebody who has unfortunately has had a lot of rejection or abandonment. And let's say they've had a pattern of this. So then in a relationship, maybe their partner's home 20 minutes late. So suddenly they're feeling insecure or rejected or this, that, or doesn't call as quickly or something happens or gives somebody else attention or whatnot. And it feels triggering and hurtful or jealous or upset and all of these, or needy. And all of these emotions end up destroying the relationship, which then, of course, perpetuate the problem of abandonment, et cetera, et cetera. So it's like our perception and then our triggers and then our emotions and then our actions all end up in this pattern, and it perpetuates the problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I love that Dr. Joe Dispenza dives so much into this work, in that when we feel those feelings, our brain becomes chemically addicted to the chemical that creates that feeling. So then we actually hardwire that pattern even deeper, because we then get addicted to that feeling, and we then, that becomes our natural response because of that addiction to the chemical within our brain.
I would absolutely agree. And I would take it even a step further, which is, I think, is really, really key, is that there's also a wiring that's connected. So in other words, what can happen is that, let's say, it's kind of like this, is that an example would be, you know, anger can be linked up to dopamine, which you might think, well, how is anger, how is this negative emotion then linked up to dopamine? Mm-hmm. But what then can happen is when a person feels angry, they might immediately anticipate a reward, because dopamine is a reward chemical. Oh, if I get angry, I get my way. Oh, if I get angry, I feel strong. And so what happens is we get, so there's,
which is its own reward.
So, well, it's safety also. So exactly. So what happens?
So we think.
Exactly.
So we think.
So it's a perceived safety. Oh, I'm in my strength. Now I feel safer. I feel like I'm protecting myself. But that's exactly what happens. And that's the miswired mind. So that's absolutely another important piece. And what it is, you know, a simple way to illustrate this is to think about somebody who has pride in hardship. And so what happens is hardship, even though they don't want the hardship, they still want the pride. And so when we go to then change these patterns, we have a biochemical response, but beyond that, we have a miswiring. So we can't even get rid of it anyway, because it's like one hand is trying to hold on to it and the other hand is trying to get rid of it. So a person may have sympathy linked up to love that happened at age 6. And so that's what's linked up together. And they go, well, I don't want this problem, but gosh, sympathy feels nice and loving. And so you'll see all the time, I'll see people who have been on a healing journey for 10, 20, 30, 50 years, who are trying to get rid of the hurt and the wound and the negativity. And yet there's another,
trying to dismiss it.
And yet there's another wiring. And of course there can be a biochemical response, but the biochemical response is typically connected to the perceived reward. Then that miswired is usually where that is. And so that's where I see that connection, and to change that, that's what I've seen is the key in my experience.
So good. Well, and I also loved in this particular episode she was starting to make some really great progress. It was probably 3/4 of the way in. She was starting to make some really great progress. And then, so you had had her jump the timeline into this new energetic timeline. And then she started talking about all the bad stuff again. And you're like, no. We're not going to go there anymore because we're creating this new energy pathway. So I would love to, you know, jumping timelines, thanks to so many great spiritual teachers and Marvel, jumping timelines and energetic timelines is kind of a hot topic. How would you compare what you are guiding people through in regards to creating this neural pathway and also kind of this energetic, revised, more empowered timeline?
Absolutely. So energetic.
Like, would you say it's the same? Yeah. Would you say it's the same of what you're trying to do? Because that when you did that on the podcast, which I loved, by the way, but it was reinforcing this new way of thinking. And once you were there, you didn't let her go back. And so I thought, one, that was really great. But then two, I thought, I want to hear your thoughts on how those two, how your healing recommendations compare to the energetic timeline jump.
Energetic timeline jump. So thinking about energy for a moment, if we look at energy, research has shown that as we shift our energy, as we shift our mindset, our energy can also change and also with our emotions. So in one research study, volunteers who were experiencing feelings of anger had increased biophoton emissions from the torso. Or even in another study, there were participants who were visualizing white light and they had increased biophoton emissions from the right side of the head, but not the left. And so we can see that also there's been research has shown that there's a direct correlation between brainwave activity and biophoton emissions. So we know it's been shown in a variety of different ways that as we change our mindset and our emotions, that can impact our energy, our biophotons. And so when we stop and think about shifting our energy towards healing, what I was having her do, was create new neural pathways and go in the direction that she wanted to go. And that was important for a couple reasons. The simplest one is this, is that feelings of optimism have been shown to increase healing. So if we look at cellular proliferation, or even if we simplify it and we say, okay, well, if people have surgery, research has shown over and over again that if they're optimistic, they can speed up their healing and they have much better recovery times. And if they're in fearful states or negativity or stress, they can have lower healing rates, increased rehospitalization, more complications, all of that. So one thing I wanted to do is make sure she had that optimism towards the future and set that in. And so so that's why it was okay. So, okay, moving forward timeline, this is what we need to make sure that's in there. The other thing is as we do that, then a person can also start to get out of pain. And that's exactly what we did in her case, is we helped shift her mindset to get out of pain, to get away from the problem. And I don't want people to, of course, to avoid the problem. It's okay. So let's go into the positive and then I'll have people go back and release the negative. So that's what I'd say is creating new positive neural pathways in the brain. So she has a new way of thinking and feeling moving forward, and also creating that feeling of optimism to be able to create that shift.
No, it's so true. And for someone who is struggling, of course, they can buy your book, March 12th. But where would, I think I saw in some of your paperwork, you had some free healings available on your site. And where would you recommend for people to begin if they're looking to make some shifts in their life?
I would recommend dramatic, like just pouring in a ton of positivity and not just positive thinking. This is what I would recommend. And this is because this is also what I did, is a lot of times when people try to think positive or go into the positive, they just try to think a lot of positive about everything. Oh, I'm great, grateful, or I'm this or that. And they try to just
spiritual bypassing.
Exactly. Well, there's that, but there's some complications to it. For example, a lot of people have underlying feelings of guilt. And then they sit there and bring in feelings of gratitude, which does not help because they don't feel deserving. So then it's feeling guilt and undeserving. And they go, oh, I'm so grateful for this in life. And so that, and it can attract, you know, more problems because they don't feel grateful for it. And so
worthy.
Yeah. So exactly. So that can happen. So that's one thing. Another thing is really thinking in terms of patterns and establishing patterns. And I mean, imagine if when we all went to go learn the alphabet, instead of learning it in a specific order, we just brought in a bunch of letters every day. And we said, I'm going to bring in these letters, and I'm going to bring in these letters, and I'm going to bring in these letters. None of us would know the alphabet to this day, and we wouldn't have it memorized. Because there's no order to it, and there's no path in the brain. And so similarly, a lot of people are like, well, let me think positive. And it's like bringing in all of these different emotions, but the brain works in patterns. And so what I did is, yes, I wanted to feel a million different positive emotions, but I started bringing just certain ones in and said, okay, I want to feel excited about life again. I need to start feeling excited about life and about my future. And I need something to look forward to. And so what I did is I started using music and specific songs. So I started using music and on choosing just two songs to then ingrain every day. Now, real quick.
What were your songs?
My songs, one of them was Beautiful Day by U2. And the other one was Walking on Sunshine by Katrina and the Waves.
Oh, I love those songs.
Right? And so good. So,
and you were in a wheelchair too. So Walking on Sunshine.
Wheelchair, walker, cane, extreme pain. And I mean, I like literally in extreme pain, in bed, on morphine, going Walking on Sunshine, and it's going to feel good. Right? So not only that, so there's keys to this because some people, they immediately hear this and they go, oh, a happy playlist. I have one of those, which is not the point. And the easy way to think about it is this, is that if there's a big field of grass and you take a different way through the grass every day and a different way through the grass every day, you never create a path. But if you take the same way every day and the same way over and over and over again, now it's a path that you can think automatically without thinking. And that's basically what I did is I said, okay, I'm going to take these two songs and I am literally going to feel them as much as I can. So I put everything out of my mind and just amplified it, which was also helpful for bringing in dopamine, because research has shown that if you listen to music in an extreme state of like euphoria, it can help increase and shift your biochemical response. And so that's what I was doing. That's one thing that was helpful, because what happens is it starts to build on itself. And then you start to feel like something great just happened, even if it didn't. Like you just got proposed to, or just something amazing just happened. You go, gosh, because you program it in over and over, it just makes it easy to do. So I would say that's a simple thing that I think everybody can do. And I think one other thing that was really profound about that is this, is that to create a new neural pathway, you have to be able to access something over and over and over again. And so like the alphabet. To create the neural pathway for the alphabet, we have to do it over and over and over and over again. Then we know it. For me, in the state that I was in, for me to access feelings of excitement and feel that genuinely towards my future every day, multiple times a day, to get that emotion stored in my nervous system would have been absolutely impossible for me to do and even access those emotions. And so I hacked the process by listening to this music and just using it to help me to generate those feelings and to amplify them. And the more that I did it, the more I could feel it. And so it was just simple, but it was profound, because I would not have been able to create those new neural pathways in any other way.
Mm-hmm. And each of the energy centers, each of the chakras are balanced by certain keynotes. And so I think even that we can dissect that in another time.
I look forward to
But
that.
I think looking into how music then takes each of those keynotes, that they're known to be balanced by certain keynotes, then ultimately raises the entire energetic frequency of the whole body so that you have a net elevated energetic frequency of the entire system.
Exactly. And the way that I see it also, like if we were to talk in terms of chakras, like even as we let go of things like fear, it can help open chakras and whatnot. And so absolutely, mm-hmm. just beautiful. Mm,
so good. So if you had one final message, I know we are wrapping up on our time here, although I feel like I could just keep talking and talking and talking to you. If there was one final message that, you know, because as each one of us individually heals, we heal our collective world. What is the one most important message that you feel like your heart wants to share and sing and preach to the congregation that people need to know as they are trying to find a healthier, happier life?
I would say this. I would say the details are everything. That sometimes people go, oh, I've heard of visualization before. Oh, I've heard of positive. Oh, I've heard of energy. And they think they know everything. And they think, oh, I've heard this before. It didn't work. The details. So I had been doing it for years and years and years and years, and it wasn't working. And that's when I said, okay, I'm going to understand the energy and the technical and I'm going to understand how this works. And so when I really dove in, which we were talking about in my book, where I really said, okay, why is this? And what is this? And when I really understood it, oh my God, it was easy to get. It was so much easier because then I understood it at a deeper level. And so I would say that. I would say the key is in the details. And that's the reason I've even been able to take people and coach them back to back to back to let their pain go under medical equipment is because the details are everything. That's what I would say, the details. And then just echoing your brilliant words is just 100% is just that, you know, the more everybody heals, the more we change the collective consciousness to realizing we can do this. And that's what excites me more than anything. And that's the reason that I've been like, prove it, show, demonstrate. and then we end up in this space where we're, you know, where we all know it and we can do it. And that's what I love.
You are doing such incredible work. I'm so, so grateful. Thank you for sharing your story and your mission with our listeners. I know they're going to love this. So be sure to purchase Brandy's book, Master Your Mind and Energy to Heal Your Body. You can be your own cure on March 12th. And where else can people learn from you? Where else can they log in and follow you? Where else would you like to connect with our listeners?
Absolutely. I would say on my website is great. There is a video under See Live Healing where you can actually see me working with somebody under medical equipment and see the scan change. And that I think is profound. The more we see it, the more we can do it. My website, brandy@brandygilmore.com. And I think to me, it's exactly that. The more we can see it, the more we can do it. So
totally agree. Oh my gosh. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for spending this time.
Can I tell you, I love your energy. I love your smile. I love your heart. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. So
thank you. Right back at you. I told you I was so excited to spend this time with you. I'm so, so grateful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us for this incredible conversation on healing and the power of the mind. Be sure to follow Brandy Gilmore and Love Heal Thrive on Instagram to get all of her books updates. Good luck this week. Love yourself enough to heal. Heal yourself enough to thrive. Take care.